Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, definitely we're so happy to have you, and this is our normal Tuesday evening marketplace buzz. So if you have a business or if you have a radio show that you want to talk about and tell us what you're doing, tell us what you're doing in your community, well, please free to give us a call, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Oh, tonight we are, you know, we're always on business. What we can do to make business better, get more customer, make some kind of internet presence. Last week we had Dan. As a matter of fact, the last two to three weeks, we had Dan on. I hope he'll be on here this evening to give you a little bit more information on the technological part. You know, how to have a web presence, things that we can do or we should do to get our business, you know, to the place we want to get them. You know, our customer-driven businesses, our services, and so on and so forth. And some of the pitfalls also that comes along with it. I think last week we covered a little bit of tag words and a bit of also we got into the children on the net and whether or not kids should be on the net at the early age that we're having them, you know, and advantages and disadvantages of that. So I hope we'll have a little bit more of that today. And we also had our lawyer on talking about copyright issues. And I am not sure we are going to be having her this evening, but we'll be delighted if she could pop in and kind of expand on some of the things that we covered last week. I know she's extremely busy, but we will definitely be more than happy to do this. And we're definitely going to have her back in the coming weeks ahead. Today we're going to talk a little bit about credit. You know, that's a bigger problem now than it was before. We had the economic blowout. We have a lot of problems. Some of us are getting a lot of headaches in terms of our personal credit and our business is as well, especially if you're a small business. You have so much more hoops to go through to get a loan approved than it was, say, 2 years ago. I know in terms of my creditors, things was, ooh, you just call and you wanted something and you'll be able to get it. But now it's so much more difficult. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. Just give an overall view of some of the pitfalls and some of the things that we can do to get our credit to a point where at least maybe we can still get one of those credit cards. All right, because, you know, without them, it's very difficult to function for the most of us. It's very, very difficult to function. Are we looking, you know, two years ago, we could normally, if you had a credit score of 740, you were on the top of the scale to get the best prices that your score could buy. 740, you're in excellent position. But nowadays, you have to really, really hit the really high numbers to really stand out when you're thinking about getting good credit cards, buying. Let's go back a little bit. I think a lot of us don't understand how credit, maybe we should do a little bit of that, how credit affects your everyday life. We oftentimes don't think about it. If you're going for a job, a lot of times your credit scores kind of give some indication of how responsible you'll be on the job, believe it or not. And most companies who are going to hire you is going to definitely get a credit score. Your landlord, he or she's definitely going to require a credit score from you, or because this is going to let them give them an indication. An indication is no guarantee that somebody has a perfect 820, 40, 50, that credit score, that they're going to be good tenants. It doesn't always work like that. So there are a lot of people who look at your credit and determine how responsible you'll be and if they're going to be extending any kind of a credit to you. But we are going to take a look at those as we go along. Let's take a little housekeeping first, and then we come back and start our show and get into the meat of things. First of all, I want to thank my sponsors, a few of them. A couple of them are coming on board, and we're really waiting for some final words. But we want to thank Mr. Terry Reed and Caribbean One Love. Caribbean One Love is a social network site built by the entrepreneurial skills of Mr. Terry Reed. Thank you so much. A gentleman that I deeply adore. And he is set up in so much that to kind of bring the Caribbean into one place. It's easier for us to see and see the information related to Caribbean people, Caribbean connections, and Caribbean businesses, to be able to trade with each other and to be able to socialize with each other. So head over to Caribbean One Love and create a profile. And in so doing, you just might find a friend that you have been looking for a while. I did a couple of weeks ago. And if you don't have friends there now, you just might make some new friends. So head over to CaribbeanOneLove.com. And I want to thank Mr. Terry Reed for his support to this show. And we also have BestJamaica.com. BestJamaica.com. Mr. Stewart McKenzie over there in Italy. He has compiled all the best of Jamaica and kind of gathered them in one location. Let's see if something from BestJamaica.com.
BestJamaica.com, covering Jamaica in its entirety, from Negril Point to Morant Point, Galena Point to Rocky Point. BestJamaica.com is your source, bringing authentic Jamaica to you.
Yes, that was Mr. Stewart McKenzie. I usually say Stewart, but he says it's Stewart. I thought Stewart was a little bit... I don't know, but I guess when you're used to pronouncing your name in a certain way, that's just it. But I usually get it wrong. Oh, Mr. McKenzie over there in Italy, thank you so much. Thank you for your support to Caribbean Radio Show. And for those who are wanting to take a vacation to Jamaica, definitely check out bestjamaica.com. Mr. McKenzie has compiled all the best of Jamaica, put them in one location, so you don't have to do that footwork. The best beaches, the best eateries, the best hotel, just about every place that you can think of and desirable to visit. It's right there, and you can also give him a call or send him an email if you have questions. And ZGreetingCards.com, you know, the festivities are over, but you have those pictures in your camera. You can upload them or download them, the technical term, to ZGreetingCards. Create your own card and memory. It's very easy. Very, very easy. And you can have those memories in a card, in the just like a regular greeting card. Now, I must tell you, these are not e-cards. These are hard copy of your picture in a postcard form. These are printed as you order them and mailed to the recipient intended. So head over to Z, that is Z as in zebra, greetingcards.com, and kind of put your pictures into archived memory in a card. All right? We thank you so much for your sponsors. Those folks there at Z Greeting Cards, we really, really thank you very much. Since the inception of our shows, you have been behind us, and we're growing, and it's all because of your support as well. Thank you so much. Let's go into a little bit. Let's start off the program just by going into a little bit of the credit. We're looking at our credit. A lot of us don't like that word. It's a tough time, and so the banks and everybody else who do credit are taking tougher measures. It's just not easy anymore to do the things that we normally would do. So we have to protect our credit a little bit, you know, monitor and protect it a little bit more than we normally do, because it's the whole system, the whole rejection thing again. It causes us a lot of pain and suffering, and it also costs us a lot of money as well. You know, life is a strange thing. You can't afford something, but you have to pay more when you can afford something. I could understand that. If my mortgage is late, I'm charged a late fee. The only reason why my mortgage is late is because I don't have the money. So if you're going to compound that by charging me $50 or $60 more, I mean, where am I supposed to get that? If I can't afford the initial amount, where am I supposed to get on top of that? So when you look at these things, it is a hard thing to be on the other side of the fence where you have to really think about money. And today we're going to try our best to see whether or not we can shed a little light on some of the things that you could do to kind of keep your credit score to a point where you can bargain the best. Okay? A lender typically would demand like about a 740 score to get the best mortgage rate nowadays. I think that has gone up a little bit more. Lower score means that a higher rate. Now, listen how this works. If you have like a 740 score, you have best, excellent, poor, and, you know, that's how the scales go down. So you're talking about like a 740 score, you'll get the best rate. So if myself and you go to a mortgage company trying to get a mortgage, you might end up, and a lot of times we see these scores going across. Well, mortgage rate is 3.45 or 3.45, but that 3.45 is based on the most excellent score. So if you have a 650 and the lender is really willing to take that risk, your score being 650, you're going to get a higher rate than the person who gets a 740. Why is that? Well, if you have a 650, that means we're going to take a big chance with you, because for whatever reason, you are not into that bracket where you can say, something is going on, why your score is at 620 or 650. You're not very responsible. So the risk is higher for us. So in order to protect us, we are going to be you're going to be penalized. That's exactly what it is. You're going to be penalized for your risky behavior before. So this is why a lot of times, and sometimes it's not necessarily risky, but you have so much loans that is owed out there, so your income, the income does not match, I mean, the ratio does not match the income. The amount of credit you have does not match the amount of income you have out there. So when they take all of these into consideration, you're more at risk for whatever reason. If you have a lower score, say 620, as opposed to someone who comes in with a rate of, say, a score of 740. Okay? So some of the, and those of you who are looking to buy a house now, this can be really, really, really good time because the rates are low. They're climbing up back. But not only that, you have more bargaining power. The bank has a whole slew of houses now that they need to get rid of. So if you can go in and bargain with them, you can get a great deal. It's a buyer's market. The sellers are really feeling the pinch of it, and that's not really good. And this is one of the main things that is affecting the economy. A lower score, as I said, means a higher rate, and perhaps in some cases you will not get the loan at all. So that is a big problem. A score about 2 years ago that would get you a loan, easily get you a loan, maybe not the best rate, but it will get you a loan. That score cannot get, probably you will never get a loan with that score anymore. Like say, the minimum score now to get one of those big giant mortgage company, let's say about 580 to about 620. That's the minimum score that you can have. So, but if you have a score, your FICO score, and we'll get into that a little bit, is probably say 720 to 740. You have a very good chance of getting a loan. People with top score is still getting credit card. And some of them, you know, some of you guys who are lucky to have your credit cards and, you know, transfer balances and so on, a lot of that is still going on. And there's some good rates out there with certain banks. And we'll go into credit cards, too, because some of them are you just don't want to go there just for the sake of having a credit card because the rates are just astronomically high. And, you know, to avoid those cards as much as possible. And we'll talk about, if we get a chance, we'll talk about some of the, how these credit cards operate too as well. If company issues a rate, now here is one of the tricky things. There are companies that issue a rate when you start out, you know, a low rate. And then if you miss a payment, say, for example, they start you out with 5%. Some of them can start you out with, say, 5%, just for argument's sake. And then you miss a payment, and that rate, and you have to read these credit card agreements, and whoever does read all of those fine prints and the litany of stuff that encompasses two, three, four pages of legal jargon, we just never get through them. But they will have you out starting out at 5% for say 6 months or a year, and then in between that, if you ever are late, and they watch that. So if I'm kind of jumping up and down here, but if for example, if your credit card is due on the first. Try not to gauge it to get there on the first, because sometimes it may get there after the closing period. I'll say 4 o'clock if some of them have 4 o'clock. Although it gets there, say maybe 3:30, but maybe it couldn't be plugged in until the following day on the second. You're gonna be late. You're gonna be late, and unless you can call and some someone really understand the whole situation and can do, because most of these things are not done by hand. They are computerized, and if you're late one day, you're just late. If you're late 15 minutes before 4 o'clock, the closing time, you're just late. You're automatically pushed over to the other other times, which would be on the 3rd, or in for that case, on the 2nd. So you're going to get a late charge just for several minutes or an hour that your letter or your check didn't get posted. And sometimes it's not your fault. So you say, well, my check got here on time, but you didn't give them sufficient time, and you have to be very careful of that. So if your check, if your bill is due on the 1st, try and get it in, start sending out that bill, say, six, seven days before the 1st, so you make sure it gets there on the 1st, because, you know, the post office can have their problems too in getting that. So that's a thing that you really have to take into consideration. People with weak score, I mean, are finding their access to credit is very, very slow. And, you know, that is going to strangle you a lot. I mean, especially if you have a business where the credit, you're depending on a credit. And you can pull around, and you can definitely look around here and there and try and find creditors who will really help you out. But at the same time, that is at a cost, you know, real big cost to you in terms of in your pocket. And when you're talking about this, you're not talking about just one time. You're talking the lifetime of a loan. You may end up paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 more than your counterpart that has a better credit score. So you have to really sometimes take these things really, really serious and kind of get onto them, because the cost for missing a date sometimes it will hurt you. Some of the people that look on your credit and take that into consideration when they're doing business with you, your insurance company. You have somebody say, well, I only pay $15 a month, or for the whole year, $300 a month. And you're saying, well, you have the same car. We drive the same car. Why is it that you're paying so much less than I do? The credit, the amount you pay for the insurance is based on your credit rating, along with other things. But that's a big part of your credit, is the amount of money you're going to end up paying for this product. It's going to rest a big part of it on your credit score. Again, your landlord. You're applying for a house or an apartment. They are going to ask for a credit score, of course. And that also, for some landlord, if you have a good credit score, what they consider a good credit score, you're going to be paying less in terms of maybe they can waive the deposit. Because if you know, if you have a 700, 800, 820 score, as opposed to somebody have 500, a 500 score, 520 score, and it is going to say to the landlord, hey, you know what, this person is rich. So along with other things, when they look at your credit, along with your rental history, they're going to make that decision whether or not they will even offer you that apartment. Okay, so you have to be very, very careful. The employer definitely is concerned about a high-risk employee if your credit score is just below that hard line of whatever they consider reasonable. They're going to say, well, this person is in financial trouble. risk of theft, risk of not coming to work, risk. There are all kinds of risks. Well, when you're in financial trouble, all kind of things can be assumed when you're there. So here again, you have to make sure those credits are up to date. Now, I have the experience where I have seen a lot of people, a lot of them, because I have some rental properties myself, and I have seen where tenants have used their children information because they have to pay a large deposit on electric bill or heating bill or any one of those utilities, water and sewer. And they have used their children's information. A lot of times the utility organization don't know that this is what is happening. And I'm very distressed by that, because here you have your children who will grow up, their young children, I mean, after 7 or 8 years, some things will drop off. So if they're young, I mean, they may clean off certain things before they're able to go for a job or to apply for a credit card. But this is so, this kind of practice hurts me so much to know that these poor children have no idea their parents are doing these things to them. And some of them, they deliberately just do these things and have their children name onto it because they know that these poor children don't know and they can get away with this for years. So I hope something can be done about this, because these children are inheriting a credit that they know nothing about. And it's hard for, I think, seeing a parent doing that, I'm saying, I think, I'm sure that's illegal, because that's impersonating someone, and it's just like stealing your identity, your own parents stealing your identity. So a lot of you young people out there, when you can, you need to try and get a credit score too, because your parents might be doing really horrible thing to your credit score that you're going to be in a lot of trouble the minute you start going to college and getting out there to get a car and such the like. So we need to find a way to stop that too. Okay. The good news is that a lot of people can boost their scores, though. I mean, if you do some, you know, you do your homework and you make a real effort to boost the score up. So let's go over again some of the scores. A moderate level score would be like, say, 200. 720 on a scale. The scale right now, the FICO scale, is 300 to 850. So the lowest you can get on the scale, I think, is 300. And I think the highest is about 850, right? Meaning that half of the population score has a half lower score. Half of them, you know, half of the have about a lower score. Half of the population, our population, have on the lower side. Another half, 50% or so, is in over a little bit over 750. And you have those very elite, about 10% of the population. Above 800, around about 800, right? So we're talking about the majority of people are in that lower score. The median range is probably about 720, and the highest of the highest now is the smallest part of the population, about 10 to 15%. Is about 800. Okay. So, considering that you have all of those things together, and maybe you run into a little problem, and you want to raise your score, some of the things that you can do to raise your score, okay? There's some inaccuracies on your bill that you have. First of all, you must get a credit score, and everybody should get pull their credit scores, not only from one, but all three of these credit score agencies, definitely all three. And that reason is that sometimes the credit score people don't talk to each other. There are some online stores now that you can buy all three of your scores. But in general, the agency themselves don't talk to each other. So if you get one from one agency and it looks like you have an 800, it doesn't mean that the other two agencies have the same score. So you need to make sure you get all three of them so you can get a good average, or if there's something wrong on either of those other two that is not showing the maximum score, then you can take action to correct them. And here are some of the minor things that can affect your score too. If, for example, you have an address, an incorrect address, the name, like you have E.C. Brown on some of your information, and some of them you have John C. Brown, or some of them you have C. John Brown. All those things affect your score. The names that you make sure you have one name that's always on your card. One name. Don't be using. Sometimes some company asks for your middle initial. Is it you try and just use one name? John Brown, not John C. Brown and some, and John A. Brown and some, or whatever. Make sure it's consistent. Also, another thing that affects your score too is the amount of time you move. You'll be surprised, because it means that there's some inconsistency around there. Why you have to be moved 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, 4, 5, 6 times, unless you're probably in the military or something. That shows instability, and that affects your score. Believe it or not, that does. Okay, so let's look at some of the things that we probably can do to try and bring our scores up, or, you know, start to create good habits. First of all, you must pay your bills. Yes, that is one of the wonderful things that you can do to help yourself. You must pay your bill, and not only pay your bill, you must pay your bill on time. Time is very, very important, right? If your bills are on time, definitely that will make sure, one of the catalysts that will help you to push your FICO score up, okay? Now, you can raise your score, your credit score. You can even predict that. I remember having a program that one of those protect your score things, that if you take this off or you add this or that, it can predict what your score is going to be. So if you have one of those programs, that would help you to see, well, if I pay this off, how much will my score go up? If I take out another credit, if my business start earning X or Y, how much would my score go up? So we have prediction, a certain program that can predict how you can manage your score. So if you have one of those things, that is usually very, very helpful in kind of giving you an idea of how to manage your score. Okay. A lot of times we pay our credit cards and we pay the minimum. And this is another thing too. You're paying your credit card. You have $1,000 and the credit card sends you a minimum of $15 per month. First of all, if you just pay that minimum amount on that credit card, by the time you finish paying off that loan, oh, you'd be sick to your stomach to know how much money you just threw away. The credit card minimum and the credit card company do this, and if you follow that minimum, the credit card, it's a tricky thing. They would say, she's only paying $15 a month. Oh, she's kind of in trouble here. Although that's what they sent to you as, that's the payment due, the minimum payment due. And that's what you're paying. And if you miss on paying one of these minimum payments, that is signaling to the credit card company, whoa, something is going on here. So you know what? I'm going to try and secure my loan by hitting her with not the original fee, percentage of 5%, but now we're going to go into the stash and hit her with that 29.9%. Wow. You see? Just by missing one payment. Or just sometimes by just paying the minimum payment, the credit card is constantly watching you to say, the minute she misses a payment, I am going to try and start collecting as much as possible because I know this is eventually going to turn in a big problem. Once she missed one pay, is a possibility that she's going to be missing several payments down the road. You see? So, be very careful of those cards. Be very, very careful because it is a problem. It is going to be a problem. You don't have to pay off the credit card interest to achieve the great scores that we're talking about. What you don't do is pay the minimum. But you have to be consistent. You have a loan of say $500. You pay $200 today, and you miss next week because you think you're paying for 3 months down the line. You miss next month, and then you pay a minimum again. No. Consistency is an indication that you're responsible. So not sporadic payment at all. But you can sporadically pay $100 here and then next week above the minimum, and you can pay that and pay it off. And some of the credit card company don't even like you paying off their loan too quickly, too, believe it or not. They want that interest, or if you're using the card, the card is being used for another person, because some of these cards, they don't have like an annual fee. So they're expecting to get their big break out of you paying just the minimum or a little above the minimum so they can put on those compounded interest on the balance of whatever is the end of the month. So if you pay it off all at once, it's like you're using it more or less, you're borrowing money that you're not paying any interest on. And some of them frown upon that a lot. But this is what you have to do. You have to do it. If you have the opportunity to do that, then, you know, that is the best thing for you. And this is what we should try to do, pay off our balance. And if you can any at all, do not try and carry any expensive balance, you know, because that's also an indication that somebody, they'll be watching to see how you deal with that. Okay? All right, let's take a little short break and do some identification here. You're listening to Caribbean Radio Show, and you're here with your host today, Ev Richardson, that's me. And we're talking a little bit about credit, the big dreaded word. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
The award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes Here Comes a Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And it's September Jack, hot love lying beside you, make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD Where Birds Can Fly from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at VP Records and Keeling Records in New York City and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly.
All right. That's my new girl there, Winsome Benjamin. Last night I had such a ball. Oh, it was my birthday for some of you who never remember and who did not call in. I had such a ball last night. It was just, I think that was one of the, I usually use these words. My adjectives are always so very simple. Sweet and delicious. Everything for me is sweet and delicious. Yes, I had a real wonderful time last night. Had quite a bit of call and them flowers still smelling the room up and my allergy bothers me sometimes, but the beauty overtakes all of that. But yes, I had the opportunity to interview her last Friday. Oh, awesome, awesome. And I hope you get a chance to see, to listen to the archives. We had her on Saturday. We did a little bit with her on Saturday as well. And Monday, I just played those music all evening. It was like, believe me. But I think this lady is somebody for you to really get out there and support. Her voice is just, I call it a symphony. Onyx voice. Yes, you just have to sit down and enjoy her music, and you understand the kind of smoothness, the kind of inspiration that comes out of the music. Oh, I know I get a little bit overboard, but trust me. All right, let's get back a little bit to some of the basic things that we're talking about today. Our credit, you know. All right. I'm kind of jumping here and there and, you know, kind of figuring, you know, to get this a little bit straight, because I know a lot of you sending some a lot of questions. We can't get through everything, but a few things that we can get through, some of the basic stuff, right? We'll try and get to that. Remember, if you have a call, if you have a question, please give me a call as usual. The number is 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. If you're in the chat room and you want to speak with me, you just click on number one on your telephone at any time. That's number one on the phone at any time if you want to join in the conversation. Maybe you have a credit problem we can talk about. You're welcome to do so. Okay. How we can correct some of these problems that we have with our credit card. A lot of us, as I say, have these cards, and we have no clue of how these cards affect our lives and what is going on. The thing that we do, we pluck them out and they run them and we get this approval thing and we're so happy we get the approval and we stick this back into the wallet and everything is okay. But when it comes, the only time we realize or we pay attention is when we have a decline or something like that. We just never, for the most part, we just don't ever take the time to look at our credit scores and examine them properly. Is the address they have correct? Is the timing correct in terms of my payments? Are they correct there? Because if they're not correct, it's like you have a slow leak. And for those people, before you go out and buy those big items, one of the first thing you do, before you go out and buy those big ticket items, you must check your score first. Because there are a few little things, maybe you forgot to pay $2 on a credit, probably a utility bill 6 years ago. That can have a big impact on your credit. Just $2. And some of these phone companies, you close an account, but there was another little $2 sitting there, and you just say, oh, I'm not going to bother to pay that. Why should I write a check for 90 cents or 50 cents with a stamp? I'm just going to leave it alone, believe it or not. They're not writing that off until it's supposed to be written off. That is going to affect your score. And as I said before, a lot of times the scores are not in a situation where they're manually done, they're computerized. So even if you owe a penny, it's still considered that you're late. It's not going to look and say, this is a penny, so I'm not going to really look for a penny and create on that. You have to literally call somebody and have them adjust that. And talk to them about, well, you paid this or you didn't pay that, right? Some of the times the accounts are not yours. And some items on the account doesn't really need to be there. Names, remember, names are easily mistaken. Addresses and all of those, if those are not correct, those can cause a problem. The bankruptcy older than 10 years are accounts that are being wiped out in bankruptcy are still listed as still due. So if you are bankrupt, that doesn't mean that certain of the things that you still don't have to pay, they're listed as due. I mean, after a certain time, some of them get wiped out. After 7 years, typically, some of them, some cases, certain things are wiped out. And remember, those young people out there, you cannot wipe out your student loan. Remember, you cannot wipe your student loan out. You cannot file bankruptcy on your student loan. So like a lot of us who have those hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan, you better start getting... Start paying them because you cannot file bankruptcy on them, okay? All right. So that's good. Good to know. Normally, typically for most large company, you will get a statement that you're delinquent and it would be reported to the credit reporting agency. Some of them would be like after 180 days, thereabout, you know. But that doesn't mean that the company themselves don't have their internal policy where after the day after, if the account comes due on the first, it means that on the second, if payment is not there, you're still going to incur charges. Those $40 or $50 or however that much is, you're still going to have those late pays. It does not necessarily mean, though, that is reported to the credit either of the credit score agency. And again, remember that each company would have a contract with us, we could be contracted to one of the, or two, or maybe all three, but not all company or report your information to all three of the companies. So that's important, as I pointed out before. So credit company A may have you of a score of 750, but B may have you at 650. C may have you at 800. So you look at all of those information and you try and make sure that they match up in general, because what they would do is an average score of the three company if you don't try and do that. And a lot of times you have to take the opportunity to write to them. Don't expect sometimes, especially your last bill, don't expect that sometimes that they're going to automatically drop them off, or they, when you send the payment because you forgot, or they send a late payment and for some reason they didn't get the payment because you moved, and eventually that shows as you're delinquent or there's some marking on your credit score that you were late. And then eventually you find that out and you went to and you paid. You have to make sure that those remarks that was placed on your credit score by the agency of delinquency, those were removed when you made the final payment. Because sometimes they don't offer, they don't just automatically go away. You have to write them. Some of them accept your explanation in writing, or the next, and some of them do it online. So please, 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 I know a lot of people who have make payment after a while, and then you realize that because the account went into delinquent, although they make the payment, and some of them make these payments through some of those collection agency, and the collection agency is not going to take the time to send the information to the credit reporting agency and say, hey, you know, finally we did get payment from X and Y and Z. So the long and short of that is that when you're about to make any big purchase, big ticket item, those big television that you need credit, the mortgage company, the car loan, and that was where sometimes you can get hit real hard. Rather than getting no financing at all, 0% financing, you end up getting 6 or 8 or 10% financing because you have this little hitch, which is a couple of dollars that didn't get paid on your credit score. And because you did not check that, you end up paying 9, 10 thousands of dollars over the life of the loan that you're looking to get just because of a simple mistake that you're not looking. So pay attention. Pay attention. Okay. Try to get a major credit card, a retail store and gas card and all of that stuff. It does help to build credit, but some times that is not necessarily a good thing, especially those store credit cards. The store credit cards, what the agency, when you start to do the score, the store credit card thing, you may think when you walk into the store, gosh, those big store offer you those cards as a means to draw you in, and you're thinking, oh, I just got a sales credit card or one of the big guys' credit card, and you feel good. But that is indicating to the people who do the score, wow, you are going to be spending like no tomorrow. The store cards are not your best bet to try and help your credit score. score, your FICO score is not the best bet for you. What you can do is if you get one of these cards, because you're going to get, they have the enticing 10 or 20% off, you can take the card, and especially if you're buying a big ticket item, you'll be buying an item for $300, $500, $200, even $100. Because other than that, it's not really worth the while that you try to get credit just for to get 10% off for $100 and then continue to use it. If you're continuing to use the card, it's different. But if you're just trying to capture that 10 or 20% when on your first purchase, which is, if it's a big purchase of $1,000, $500 up, I mean, 10%, 20% on that, 15% is really a nice little saving. So what I encourage you to do, you can take the card and you get that 10%, 20%, however much they offer. And as soon as you make that big purchase and you pay that bill, you cancel the card. You cancel the card. And that card would be showed as per the contract that it was paid in full and timely and so on. And if you do that within a certain time frame, it won't affect your credit too much. It won't affect your credit too much. But if you keep acquiring these store cards, the more you acquire them, is the more your credit will go down, because these store cards are considered risk. Now, if you some retail card like the gas card, you know you're not going to go out there and just buy gas just for the sake of buying gas like that. So those are a little bit better, and those will help you to build your credit history. Okay. The bigger credit card, the major cards, like the Visas, the MasterCards, the Discover, or the American Express, if you get those are the so-called the quality cards. If you're just starting out and you don't have credit, and sometimes no credit, as they say, is just as bad as having bad credit. Sometimes. But if you don't have credit and nobody is willing to take the chance with you right away, some of the major credit card and some of the so-called, well, I call them secondary cards, so to speak, that don't really rely on the credit rating so much, because they do more of a so-called credit index card. They usually charge higher. They run all different, and they can really get you in terms of the interest rate. But sometimes you may depends on your situation. That's the only alternative for you. But a better alternative is for you to get a card that you call that a secure card. So you maybe put $100 or $200 on the card, secure, and then they may give you a $300. First of all, they may start out just allowing you to spend that, see how you spend it, see how you build it up back. And then after maybe 6 or 7 months, and they take a look at it again, and they may increase the credit. Now, you have a deposit, a secure deposit down of, say, $300. And 6 month time, that they may increase your credit by $200. So now you have a $500. Say if it was, say, $204, they may put $300 on, and now you have a credit of $500. It means that they're looking at your card and see how you're using it and the responsibility factor. And they may decide, well, I'm going to try this person and give them $300 extra on top of their deposit of $200. And at the end of a certain time period, They also would pay you interest on that $200 too. So that's another way. That's sometimes a better way to try to increase your credit. If you don't have any credit, you're just starting out. So to get establish some kind of credit by doing a secure credit card. And avoid some of these high interest cards that's going to charge you, oh my goodness, 29.9%. If you have, consider, if you have, say, $1,000 on a 29.9% credit card, for you to pay that over 5-10 years, it's like buying a mansion almost. You know, I mean, that's a little bit exaggerated, but that's almost exactly what it is. So, in going over this, make sure that the card reports to all, and the cards that you're getting, some of them will just report to one credit card. Make sure that all of them are reporting, the cards that you're taking will report to one agency. All three agencies they should report to, so you don't have the same problem I was talking about. They're reporting just to one agency and not all three agencies, and cause you to have to go to get those agency reporting to at the same time. All right? Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue this credit call.
The award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes, Here Comes a Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And it's September, Jack. Hot love lying beside you. Make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD where birds can fly from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at VP Records and Keeling Records in New York City, and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, where birds can fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You've got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, where birds can fly.
All right, that was my girl, the queen of reggae music. I call her Miss Winsome Benjamin. As I told you before, I had such wonderful time playing her music yesterday. It's like I was just having this awesome party. I was just playing her music yesterday and just absorbing all of the love and the inspiration. Some of those words were just going to me. I was just intoxicated, and I wasn't drinking anything. So don't get any funny ideas. All right, let's kind of go back a little bit to credit. Okay. Oh. How do you get your credit score up to 740? That's a half decent way to go. Okay, one of the things that you can do, I mean, to kind of help you, because we, especially if you have a loan, sometimes we kind of forget things because things a little bit get too busy and you just forgot. If you can make an automatic payment on your card or, you know, the loan, that does help you a lot. Because, as I said, if you are probably you're out traveling and you miss a bill, and whether or not you cannot, the thing about it, you cannot explain certain delinquency away. You just can't do. You are out traveling, or I was out doing this, or you, for some reason you had some family problem. Sometimes you cannot use that to square away delinquency. So one of the ways that you can really do this is to, if you have an automatic payment set up, please do that. And if you, a lot of people set up automatic payment and they don't have any money in their account that they use to draw this information from. Please try and make sure the account is funded, because if they draw that fund, and some of the times what happens, they will draw that money when the due date comes, and if it doesn't go through, that is a charge. That is a charge. And shortly after that, within a couple of days, because the system may say, okay, maybe when I first set out the information to collect this money, there was a check was there, but something happened that we kind of crossed paths on the way. So they will, I think 4 or 5 more days, they'll try again. And if you didn't put that money in, they're going to make you, and they're going to charge you again. Insufficient funding fee. And you know how much that can be. And what that does, that is that you're in a very bad place, because the bank is going to charge your insufficient fund, and your lender is going to start look at you with jaundiced eyes. Okay, now, let's see what's going on here. Well, you one time we attempt, two times they attempted, and there was no money there. Something is going on. Now, they are going to charge you too. They're going to charge you too. And what that does depends on how strict they are about this. What is going to happen is that they're going to say, I'm not going to take no more check from you. Now, you are not going to pay me any more check because you bounced two times the check, whether or not, and then that, sometimes the bank has a problem, and if it's a bank problem, what you do is to go to your banker and ask them to give you a letter stating that it was their fault, and then you send it to your lender, and sometimes they can waive some of those fees. But if it's not the bank's fault, your credit score is in trouble. So you have to call them and quickly correct that. Now, if you have a problem with the bank, or you have some kind of a problem that sometimes you feel so kind of, let me put it in graphic term, pissed off because there is a charge that your bank is charging you that you don't feel like you should pay. And a lot of times it's just better you pay it, because it is sometimes difficult to fight those banks, because if they decide that they're not going to take it off, there's nothing you can do. Are you going to make, as they say, don't cut off your nose to spite your face? Are you going to make $35 cause you to spend $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I've seen a lot of people who have done the same thing. Especially with the telephone companies or those some utility company. Oh, I only have $5 left. Then I think that they shouldn't have charged me that. Or they move out of an apartment and they thought they left the place clean, but the landlord tacked on an extra $50 for a little fly that was flying around in the apartment. And believe you me, they do that. They can always find ways to get not pay you back your deposit, or make sure they get some of that money out of your deposit. And you feel that, well, that was unreasonable, unfair, and you just leave it at that, and that goes into collection. $50 or $20 will cost you thousands of dollars over the lifetime of whatever loans that you are trying to get in contract with. So make sure as best as you possibly can that you don't have a loan that is out there. Now, sometimes we don't know that there is something that's out there. A lot of times because we move, something just gets swept away somewhere and we don't know. But as soon as you know, make sure you take care of it. And you can always write a letter to the credit reporting agency, and sometimes they can do. I mean, once upon a time, it was very hard-nosed. Nowadays, you can reason with them a little bit in writing. So you can correct a lot of things. You don't have to sit and pay and suffer through things like paying thousands of dollars if you don't have to. So the long and short of this, if you have any kind of dispute with your bank or with your landlord or whoever, do not let it go into collection. Because once you get into collection, you are in deep problem. Right? You are in deep problem. Because, okay, you have something that's in collection. By the time you're ready to renew your insurance policy, you're going to say, well, because your credit rating is going to drop, so therefore your insurance guy is going to look at that, or the insurance company, she had a 650, and we consider that not the optimum score, but we still gave her insurance at X rate. But now it's gone down to 500. Then it is going to go up. You go to the store to buy something on credit, you're not going to get that 5% or 2%. It's going to be that 10, 18, or 32% or 29%. You go to buy that car, you're not going to get the 0% finance. You're going to get that 9 and 10 and 15. Over the life of the loan of $30,000 or $50,000, do you know how much money that is? A lot. A lot. So make sure you kind of take a look at that. Every single year, you should go in and see what your credit score is like. At any one time, you're supposed to be able to know what is going on with your life, you know, your public life, and that depends on with your finances, okay? Now, with all that said, you get that down. Things are going to be pretty nice and easy for you in terms of you getting out there and be able to pull, get a credit, okay? A lot of times people do not, if you want to get some credit, if you're looking credit, every time somebody enters your information, be it your banker, be it you want to look a loan for your car, you want to get a credit card, you want to get a mortgage, you want to get a job, you want to get just about any loan, anything. Every time somebody pulls your credit report, it does affect your credit score. It does. How you can avoid some of that? Try and do all of the system will understand. If you do all of your work round about, say you pick a month and make sure that you get all of your say you want a new credit card and you're applying for a credit card, make sure you do it within a certain window. Try and get all of it in a certain window. So the system can say, well, hey, I see that she was making an effort right here to do to get this credit or whatever this is. Don't go every single week or every single month. You keep applying a client because that is going to indicate desperation. All right? Okay. Let's take a little break again. And we come back, we continue this conversation. All right?
Greetings. This is Shuntai, and you're listening to the Caribbean Talk Show.
The award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes, Here Comes a Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And the September track, Hot Love Lying Beside You, make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD, Where Birds Can Fly, from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at VP Records and Keeling Records in New York City, and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You've got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Winsome, the new queen. If those of you who had a queen before, this is the new queen. This is the new queen, of course. Miss Winsome Benjamin, the lady that we have to watch out for. And we certainly are going to be supporting her, definitely. We have the opportunity to interview her last Friday, and we hope she'll come back. So whenever time she has anything planned, we hope to really adopt her here. All right, so hi to Winsome wherever you are. Okay, let's go back to our credit. This evening, of course, is our free market buzz. For those of you there who have a business, or want to call us in and tell us about your business and get your business on the air, this is the evening to do it. We do a free market buzz. You call us in and tell us about your business. Let the universe, let WW know what you're doing out there, okay? 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Today, we are looking at our credit. Credit, credit, credit. You know that wonderful word. So, we talked about paying off our credit. Sometimes we have disputes, but I think it's best for us to even pay first and then you dispute after. Because in the meantime, this thing is creating havoc in your life, right? So kind of pay, and then you talk about it, which is not too a good situation, because when you don't think you owe something, is not a nice thing. So, but in terms of the long term, make sure you don't have things going into collection, right? Because when that goes, it's like it's out of the company hands. What they do, they sell these debts. They call them selling these debts. So when they sell these debts, it's out of their hand, and you have to deal with the debt collectors. And believe you me, you don't want to have these debt collector people calling you, because they can be horrible, horrible, horrible. They'll call your children if they can get their number. They call your next-door neighbor, and they're nasty, and they say nasty, horrible things and can make your life a problem. And they have these. I mean, I think they're toned down somehow a bit now, because there's law that has been put in to, prevent some of these abuses. But they're still doing it maybe a little bit toned down, but they're still doing it. Okay? Another thing that you do, give your limits a wide breadth. So if you have one card, here's how this works. If you have one card and you max that card, big trouble. No, no, no. If you have five cards and you want to make, you put a little bit on this one, a little bit on that one, a little bit on that one, a little bit. So you kind of juggle them a little bit. But don't keep using one card. I know sometimes we want to build up those mileage for some of us who do the mileage bit. But that can be very disadvantageous. Do not ever, ever max your card out. Big, big no-no. Big, big signal to these people who are saying, giving you credit. This person is in trouble. This person is in trouble. And what you do is at some point take away those credit limits or lower those credit limits. And you can understand why. If you're going to max out your credit card, something is going on that is quite unusual. And it means that something ain't sending a signal to somebody that something ain't right. Okay? So don't ever max your credit card out. Make sure you spread your debt out. So a little bit goes to the X or the Visa, a little bit to the MasterCard, a little bit to that. So you use the MasterCard, depends on which one you get. You know, you have lower credit and which one you can have easier for you to pay off, so you don't have a higher credit on this one. But whatever you do, do not max your card out and do not overload any one of your card. And you should try and get at least, if you can, one or two card. Now, if you're a person who pays off your bills at the end of the cycle, then that's different. So you go out and you buy a $5,000 merch unit, and at the end of the month you have the $5,000 to pay it off, no problem. But still, you should not, if you're buying a $5,000 and you're paying off at the end of the month, then your credit limit should be at least twice or three times that. And I'm sure your the credit institution would have, you know, have your credit. And if you're going to buy a $5,000 unit, they're going to, once you go and you make that purchase, they're going to call you by the time you reach home. We saw that the activity of $5,000, which were very unusual, is, did you make this purchase at so-and-so-and-so-and-so? So they'll call. And as well, they will call you, too, if you make small purchases, too, especially some of these online purchases. Because this is what the online thieves do. They make small purchases of $2 to $5 or $6 over there. And then they say, this card is good. And then they go, after that has been approved, then they go and they start to make havoc. So the credit card company may call you and say, hey, we see two small charges here of $5 and $6. Did you make these charges? Almost immediately, I know I've gotten that. When I make small, especially one of my card, when I make small purchases online, they call me almost immediately. Did you make these two purchases? And yes, which is very good because you can avoid a whole lot of problems of somebody taking your identity. And the thing with somebody taking your identity or using your credit card online, the fact that you're going to feel, oh my gosh, what else did they take? Well, you can stop one card or you can stop the card, but what other damages are there? Do you know what information that they have on you? Somebody can just take your card and make purchases. But sometimes they can capture your entire life, I mean your social security, your address, your birth date, everything. So they can duplicate this. They can use other ways to really make your life miserable. So and this is why it's very, very important that you do these, get these credit reports every single year, because you can know what's going on. Because somebody can be, and some of the thieves are kind of reasonable, too. they would do reasonable charges like a reasonable person. They buy small items here and there, use the card, you know, just like somebody was using it, so you won't have any idea that this is going on until, you know, as I said, you're going to make a major play, like getting a mortgage or getting that car or getting in some kind of business transaction, and then all of a sudden these things pop up. Okay? Make sure that your balances, you have to worry about the credit utilization rate and all of those stuff, which we won't go into much of that. If you have, like, if you charge between, as I would say, between 9,000 on a 10,000 card, it is going to be looking like you're using 90% of your limit. It is 90% of your limit. So you're going to avoid that at all costs. So what you do, if you're going to charge, although you know you'll get all of those mileage on that card, because maybe that card has a lot of mileage on it, say, for example, if you're that. But if you have the card that has $50,000 on it, but don't have much mileage on it, use that card to charge, say, the $9,000, because it's not going to look like you have 10%. So you must always charge that the charges, your maximum charge should be always below 10%. I'm not sure I probably explained that correctly. Okay, let me try and get that, because this is very important. If you have a card with $100,000 credit limit, do not use that card to charge to pay for your boat that is cost you $9,000. You see what I mean? Do not use that, because that means you're just right on that border of that 10%. It is 10%. Just 10% is left. And the credit card don't like to see that. Is that, even if you're going to pay off the balance in full when you get the bill, that is still going to show, woohoo, is a red flag that go up. Oh, we got to watch this person here, because next month they may just decide they want to do the whole $10,000. And we know by the time they do that, it's going to be really too late. Something is going on here. So if you're going to make one of those humongous purchases, it's the same thing when you have, you're just starting out your credit and you have only $500 on your credit card. Please don't go and order $400 worth of stuff on your $500 credit card, because you will never for a long time get a raise in your credit, because you're sending a signal to the credit card company that I am desperate. Something is going on here. All right? So, with all of that, we're going to stop a little bit here today, and I hope you get, let me just go over just a brief overview. And I see I have my tech person in the room. Dan, how are you? Let me just get a 5 minutes or so to just kind of do a little overview of my little credit thing, and then we're going to come and talk tech. Okay? Remember, do not go over your 10% credit card limit. You put a limit. Okay, this is self-imposed limit. So if you have, say, a $10,000 credit limit, you don't use that card to buy a $9,000 worth of goods. Never, 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 never. Even if you are going to pay it off at the end of the month, don't do it. Worse, if you have a $10,000 credit card and you have goods that you're going to purchase for $10,000, that diamond ring or whatever, $10,000, do not ever, ever do that, because that spells big trouble. Even if you, as soon as you wipe that card, you send them the money, you don't want to do that. Always make sure that you're not spending, you're not spending more than 80%. You know, the books would tell you 90%, more than 90% of your credit limit. But put it down to 80. Put it down to 80. So 80% is the highest you should go on any card that you have. Make sure that you don't get anything. If you have a couple of things that you don't agree with, make sure they don't go to collection. Absolutely try not to go to collection. That is going to kill you. Okay? If you have a loan, try to make automatic payment, because that would prevent you from getting into, sometime you go away and you're not able to make a payment. You can explain that off. Try and get your credit score up to about 740 for you to get the best price on everything. If it's below that, that means you are seen as irresponsible. Plain, straight, and simple. The credit card company is not human people, so they could hear your voice and understand you. These are machine, and they have calculations that set up in a way that, hey, you get over a certain limit, no, we're not going to take the chance with you. Remember, your landlord, based on your rent and how much deposit, he or she is going to look at your credit score, and that is going to sometimes you won't even get the house if you have a certain credit score. So if somebody say you turned down, the reason why you turned down sometimes for a job is because of your credit score. Because if you have a credit score that is so low, this is high risk for theft and other financial trouble down the road. So why would you really, which is not necessarily true, because a lot of people, when they get divorced, because of divorce and all of that kind of stuff, create havoc with their finance, with their credit score, because some partners, they really do some really play a big, you know what I'm talking about, those of you who are affected by that. Insurance for your cars and the same thing, that. Make sure you pay those last utility bills. The utility bills and those stuff are one of the things that really are going to get you. Those last $10, $20 from the phone company that you hate. You're going to hate them, but they're going to milk your pocket. All right? So let's really look at those little basic things. And another thing, make sure every single year you have a checkup. Do a financial checkup. Not even a financial checkup. This is the credit bureau checkup. Remember, you have three different credit scores, three different agencies, and your landlord is not going to report to the three different agencies. They have contact with probably just one. So you have to make sure that if your credit score is 800, oh, 850, oh, great for you. Or you're just one of the 10% in the country, the entire country, and rare for you. But you may have 800 here at this credit agency number one, but a 750 at credit agency number two, and a 630 at credit agency number three. Now, that kills your perfect score of 850. So you have to call these other guys and say, hey, you did not have this, or my landlord did not report this, and so-and-so did not report this, and this did not get reported. So you have to push those for yourself. Another very important factor, when you have a debt that is being paid that went into delinquency and it is being paid, it doesn't mean that automatically this is going to be removed from your credit score. You have to call them, you have to write them if need be, and make sure it is removed. That means you have to be on top of your credit score every single year. Make sure your addresses are correct, because that's another thing that does affect you too. If you move too many times, that is going to affect your credit scores. Yes, if you have too many people calling to check on your credit score over a period of time, that is going to affect your credit score. So try and make a little window. Say, hey, I'm going to look some credit. I want some new credit. I want some of that. So you get a month and you sit down and you apply for all of these credits in one time. So that cluster, it would say, hey, this person is not desperately going about trying to find it in every way, because that affects the score. Avoid store credits. The store credit card, they may pull you in by giving you 15% or 10% on your purchase. If it's a big purchase, like a refrigerator for $1,000 or those big screen TV for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, you can take those cards, but soon after you pay that off, you destroy it, right? I mean, some people would tell you that you definitely don't destroy your credit card, but some cards, it will benefit you to destroy them. Like your main credit card, some of the major ones, you have the real legit American Express and all of that. It's better you take your time and use a little bit on those credit cards always. But if you take them away, if you destroy it or cut it up or ask them to close your account, if this is the first credit card you have since you were, whenever you started out, 18, 19, or 15, 20 years, do not ever close those accounts. You know, because you don't often use it, but don't close it, because if you close it, you are going to hurt your credit score. Okay? So that's basically, I know I probably left out some of these few pointers, but next week, we will talk a little bit more of this, because I know this is something that is affecting a lot of us these days. But I have my Dan on the phone, and next week we will talk a little bit more about credit. Okay? All right. Let me take a short break, and then I come back to you, Dan. Good evening.
I've been to many a place before. There's a place I'm heading for.
The award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes, Here Comes a Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And it's September Jack, hot love lying beside you, make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD Where Birds Can Fly from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at BP Records and Keeling Records in New York City, and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly.
Hey, Winsome Benjamin, my queen, my new queen. Hey, get out there and support the girl. Oh, you have her records and all of those iTunes and everywhere you can look, wherever records are sold. You can call up, and I think she also has you can get connection from her website as well, winsomebenjamin.com. And, of course, if you want this lady to be on your next show in your next town, contact Mr. Clifford. I don't have his information here. Let me see if he's inside the chat. Oh, Mr. Edwards, drop your information in the chat room if you can, where we can contact Miss Benjamin if somebody's out there who needs her to come into town. Before I go, let's bring in my second best fan. Dan, how are you?
I'm great.
I missed my party yesterday.
Yeah, my apologies. I got busy. Was out of town and out of town is not a good explanation for being on an internet radio, but I was just away from the internet,
you know. Wow. So, I had such a good time yesterday. I missed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of popped in, popped down real quick. I just got swamped yesterday. It was I guess you would call it a typical Monday.
Okay. So how are you doing? How are you doing today?
Oh, better. I think Monday was yesterday, right? Okay,
yes.
Yeah, it was. Okay, I'm doing better today. Getting through life as best we can. You know, sometimes you get the, you know, life throws some curves at you. You just got to take it and try to hit it and do what you can with it. So, so that's kind of the how this week has started off. And the other side of here, what makes this week great? I get to talk to you again.
Oh, so. You know you always
show again.
I get a little cheeky. Oh, I'm so happy that you're here, and you can't say. I doubt sometime if life was the street of gold thing, we would bring out all of the strengths in us and the energy and the innovation. We don't want hard, but I think we have to have those in order to get some amount of direction.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Makes sense.
And, you know, Blog Talk this week has been giving a whole, the reception coming over this week has not been perfect at all either.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. So what can we talk about today?
Well, you know, we could talk about technology, obviously, because that's my background. But you know what? You had a pretty good discussion about security, and
yes,
especially online security. So maybe we could expand on that a little bit. In fact, let me give you a little bit of my background. So long ago, I used to be a hacker.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of at the era where hackers used to be a noble trade, I guess you can call it. We hacked because I didn't have a PDP 11 in my garage or anything, so I had to go hack a local computer to learn how to use that. That was at kind of the end of that era where hackers were more noble, had ethics and stuff like that, were to the point where you had some people that were not so ethical. And breaking into stuff that we probably should be breaking into. So,
but when people think about hacker, though, they really think of not noble. But you guys were very instrumental in helping to make sure we get a better system set up, though.
Yeah, I guess you say that. I guess nowadays they have white hat hackers and black hat hackers and stuff like that. But yeah, for my sake and a lot of my colleagues that I hooked up to, we just simply wanted to learn, explore the computers at the time. And now we're talking back in the 80s, okay? So the PC just came out. We're still using some Apples and stuff like that. And for the most part, the mainframes are still out there. You know, you have these computers that filled up whole rooms. And so we didn't, for us to learn Unix or Algol, all these other languages, you simply can't not do it on your computer. You have to do it on the big computer. And either have direct access or indirect access, as I call it. So, on top of that, we learned, you learned a bunch of things about security at that time. Even now, a lot of stuff is still quite prevalent. A lot of stuff we did, we helped sysops, as they call it, to better the system, secure things up, and fix things.
Yeah.
And then again, too, we had that was kind of at the era when we had some not so nice hackers get in the system and start doing some bad things.
Yeah.
So.
We were talking about the credit on one hand, but as you said, the security of our information and how that can really go cause an havoc in our life. T- tell us a little bit about that, because a lot of us, some people would say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with the internet. But whether or not you like it, there are information on the internet involuntary that is still.
Yeah, you're right about that. In fact, I forgot what the number is now. I think about 5-6 years ago, there was a website somewhere that told you, I forget the statistic, your name, your information, your name is passed on the internet somewhere about 14, 15 times a day or something like that. That was a few years ago. Now it's quite a bit more than that. So that's a little spooky. And it's pretty easy now to find information on anybody. And I think there's a friend of mine even brought up, for like $1, $2, you can find anything and everything about any specific person. Or let me rephrase, what's available online is available for a couple bucks.
Wow.
Okay? And so that's quite scary. You know, that's eerie to know that just for a couple bucks, people know everything about your lives. So.
And last week we were talking about, before we left, we were talking about the age of that children should be allowed on the computer. And this is one of the things that would, you know, because a lot of parents, they don't know the information that their kids are putting on the computer. And sometimes you think you have all of these security in places, but you just still know basically some of the information that they share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I mentioned, that it kind of goes across the board with me. You have to really be proactive in your children's lives. There's, you know, if they want to get into something, they can get into something. I mean, porn sites, there are very few porn sites that have, let's say, access or adult screens. Say, hey, you know, if you're under 18, you're not allowed on this website. I mean, there's nothing that stops kids from getting this stuff. I mean, you can or anything. And that in mind, you know, the kids, as they're not mature enough to take responsibility for a lot of their actions or a lot of the information to pass around there. So that's another cool, let's say, security breach amongst your family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also for the adults, because a lot of us, definitely the internet and the social sites does give us some room to, you know, express ourselves as well as to bring our product to market. But again, this information that we put on these sites, we have to be very careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a rule of thumb, I tell my clients that, you know, if you're not going to reveal it between yourself and, let's say, going to a chamber, or between two people, you probably shouldn't have it on the internet.
Wow.
Okay. But the other argument there is, well, how do I buy stuff if I can't get my credit card stuff information out? So, so that kind of falls in two categories: the purchasing stuff and your personal information. You know, like I say, I quite a wide open book when it comes to my Facebook account, stuff like that. There is whole bunch of stuff, including my phone number. I don't think I have my home address, but that's not to be too difficult to find. But as for, let's say, more secured information, that's very well guarded on my end. I have, for instance, I have some general passwords for stuff like Facebook and Twitter, stuff like that. So in case people hack it, that's fine. You know, they're all going to do is mess up an account. But when it comes to my banking information, that is a specific password that is only for that particular account.
Go a little bit in detail, Dan, about how we create password and to really create secure password. I was watching somebody create a password. One of the kids create a password the other day, and they did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How does that?
In fact, I tell you what, a little secret about hacking is it's not breaking the 128 to 256, you know, bit key encryption. Okay, that is statistically impossible for a single person to do. It would take you millions of years to do it. The way you hack is actually attack the weak point, which is a human being. Okay, and here's something: a lot of people use the same password for everything.
Hello.
Okay, you there?
Hello.
You there? Hello. You there?
I think we're having some technical problems as usual. Dan, I hope you can hear me and call us back. Call us back, please, because we definitely want to continue this conversation. Let's take a short break.
You are listening to Caribbean Talk Show, hosted by Dr. Richardson and Terry Reed, bringing you the sunshine, the street, and always on.
BestJamaica.com, covering Jamaica in its entirety. From Negril Point to Morant Point, Galena Point to Rocky Point, BestJamaica.com is your source, bringing authentic Jamaica to you.
Award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can't Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a pretty smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes Here Comes Her, Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And it's September Jack, Hot Love lying beside you, make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD, Where Birds Can Fly, from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at VP Records and Keeling Records in New York City, and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You've got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Caribbean Radio Show, and that was Miss Winsome Benjamin. We had to take a short break there because our audio is not really doing what she's supposed to do. So welcome back, Dan.
Hi.
You know, this is technology.
Yeah, technology at its worst.
We were talking about the security bit, and you were elaborating.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as I mentioned there, you know, here's when it comes to hacking, you attack the weakest link, which is human beings. Okay. Here's a very fun way of how hackers hack. Most all people use the same password for everything. Okay. Or let me for a lot of people. So all you need to do is find that one person's password. You open up their lives.
Wow.
Okay. You ever think about that? Let me ask you, do you use the same password for a lot of stuff?
No.
You don't? You change around?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
To be honest, I kind of have a major part of the password, and then based on when I go to that particular site, there are some stuff that I look for, and I change that up. But I have a core, and then I change that up, and some are definitely totally not related. You see what I'm saying?
Cool. Okay, so you're one of the smarter people that get it and understand it. Okay, a lot of people use the same password for everything just to make it easy to remember. And that's the big problem. The one password. Let's say they get into a forum with that one password. It's just a simple forum, all right? Most forums are pretty easy to hack to get people's passwords or a password database. So you can take that password and let's say they follow the person to their bank, okay, and use that password to access their banking information. Now they're screwed, or PayPal or something. So,
wow.
And so that's one fundamental problem with a lot of folks, and the big problem overall with security is a human interface. If they're not smart enough to use, you know, take the time to, let's say, create different passwords, whatever, then they themselves are going to create the security hole. And it doesn't matter how many 256-bit encryption, double standard, whatever.
Wow.
All stuff, you know, that's where it comes down to. It exists back when I was hacking some 20 years ago, even now. That is the one thing that is the weakest link. So, and going further from there, here is something you might find interesting. You know all the spam we're getting, all this stuff, let's say all those Viagra or these online online pharmacies. We get all the spam from these people. You've seen those before?
I hardly can hear you too much, Dan. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you know what? Can you hear me now?
It's a little better.
Okay. I kept on going in and out all the time over here. Well, let me tell you something. Let's look at the spam we have nowadays. We have a lot of people that do like Viagra or Cialis or these online pharmacies. You ever get the spam?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me tell you how that is a security risk and all this stuff. Actually, all those things are kind of this. Most all the spam you're getting in the world now, it actually comes from just a handful of people. Okay? But let me kind of play out a scenario of what happens here. It's kind of reciprocating. The spammer, he creates this website for this fake online pharmacy. Okay? Or he has it loaded up. He paid for it by a credit card he got previously. Okay? It has it kind of sets there until it's time to use it. Okay? Then all of a sudden he fires off millions and millions and millions of emails telling everybody to go to this website and go buy Viagra or whatever. Okay?
Wow.
Most everybody are not fooled by it. But all you need is just a few people to fall for it. Okay, so they go in there and act like, oh, this is a legitimate site. They put the credit card information in this false website. Okay, now with because it's a spam site, this is a legitimate spam. This site's already going to be blocked within 30 minutes or less. But the damage is done. Okay, somebody, a few people, it doesn't matter, one or maybe 30 or so out of the millions of spammers put the credit card information. Now you got vital information, somebody's, you know, money. Okay, so now in turn, these spammers will take that credit card information and set up another hosting someplace else with the same website and just have that thing staged. Okay, and that's how it repeats. That's how these people do this stuff. They just correct it. It is a ploy to collect credit card information. It has nothing to do with selling drugs online.
Wow.
Scary, huh?
I'm still trying. I hear you. You know, you're still coming in and out. I mean, those information that you're giving out, I hope that, you know, my listeners is getting that. I'm trying to see if the chat.
I think you're hearing it.
You think they're hearing?
Yeah. Keith, can you hear us?
I am asking.
Anyway, yeah, okay, they're both clear. So we just talk. We'll just talk to Keith.
Okay.
So I hear Keith using your 16 characters to solve that. Here's kind of two ways to create very encrypted passwords. First of all, there's a program or kind of a plugin called RoboForm. Okay, that is a very popular password saver, password creator program. More popular, probably twice as popular as the second most popular one. It's been around for a while. Very, very good program. You're able to plug into Facebook, Firefox, Explorer. The Google, you may be able to load up in your iPhone or Android. It's able to synchronize. Very easy to and highly encrypted, so it's easy to hold, store all your passwords. I get literally thousands of passwords logged in this thing here, and I have access to all that stuff wherever I go. I have my Android with me, or even access a remote computer. So, on top of that, it has a password generator in it. So, and very simply, if you need a new password, you click a button, all of a sudden you have a new password that's very, very highly encrypted. Okay? So, that is, I highly recommend that you do this. Worth the money. I think it's like $20 or $30 for it. Now, if you'd say you want to, you can't afford the $20 or $30, you just want to kind of create an encrypted password on your that's easy to remember. Okay? Here's something, a little fundamental thing I tell some of my clients that are more in security. It's easy for us to remember bits of stuff than the whole thing. So if you take, let's say, try to come up with like two numbers in an alphabet, okay? Three of each or whatever. Let's say instead of a 12 character password, you break it down into four sets of threes. Okay, you remember first three, second three, third three, fourth three, and do the, all you can to remember it, repeat it all each chunk at a time. Okay, then you can come back, and then if you want a really encrypted password, you can swap these sets around. If so long as you remember each one of the three sets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you can remember. Then you can create a very highly encrypted password and still remember it. Okay.
Yes.
So all you need to do is remember the little bits of the password instead of the whole thing. And then if you need something, let's say somebody's catching on that one password, you just swap the groups around. But you still remember the bits, the pieces of the password. It's just a matter of which order that you put the groups in.
Okay. That's what I try to do. But tell our audience, Don, first of all, I know that a lot of my listeners, they have been listening to you now. But tell us, before we move on, how, because I know you have a lot of information, you're at this for about 40 years now, and what better person to recommend. Tell our audience what you do and where they can contact you if they need additional information as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a fellow Blog Talk Radio jockey. And my site is at blogtalkradio.com/Dan Harley. My website is primeconcepts.net. I'm an internet solution consultant. I specialize in internet marketing. Basically, I make my clients' phone ring. I work with small, medium-sized, large-sized businesses. Get them online, search engine optimization, social internet, you name it. Like I say, even doing websites. I make the internet so that it's a tool for my clients, for my customers, so they're able to leverage the power of the internet to make them more money, make their business more successful. So, and my slogan is our success is your online success. I'm sorry.
Can I drop the information in the chat room for me?
I just did.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I'm not looking at the chat room, so.
Mm-hmm.
So. And just give us a little bit more detail of some of the things that they can really, that is current now, that people really want to do, that they can contact you about.
Well, a lot of people really want to transition from traditional marketing to internet marketing. Okay? And that's really my specialty. That's what I've been trying to hone in on the past year or so, is trying to find, is I've been doing this for quite a long time, but the challenge is in traditional marketing, everything's about the same. It's very, very, very much simplified. You know, for newspapers or phone books, you buy a square. Okay, you fill that square up, and that's your ad. So it's pretty fundamentally easy. Right? And on TV or radio, you got 30 seconds to say what you need to say. So that's fundamentally easy. When you get online, it's everything but that. So search engines and social internet, a lot of stuff's free or near free, but there's so much of it out there that you really need someone expert like me to really grasp it and make sense of it and make it so that you take the right step to make this stuff happen for you. You know, it's one thing. Oh, I need to be on top of Google. Why? You know, you need a certain search terms. Even a local business. There's three, just for, let's say, searching for plumber in Los Angeles. there's three different ways to get ranked for that on Google for that one term, and two of them are free. I help my clients. I weed through all the stuff. My most important service is education. I teach my clients all the stuff they need to know so they understand what's happening, so they make an informed decision on what they do with their internet marketing needs. I don't sit there and you know, try to be a gatekeeper of information. I want my clients to know what's going on so they know. They know that it's an informed decision on this stuff is much better than saying, oh, okay, here's money, here you go. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Good enough.
Okay. Hey, let's take a caller, and we're going to come back to that password thing once more, because that is so very important when we talk about, because still a lot of us don't get this thing yet. But let me take a call, and then we come back to that conversation. 480, you're on the phone. Good evening. Welcome in.
Hi, it's Attorney Aurelia Durant. How you doing?
Oh, my gosh, my favorite lady.
Oh.
I didn't hear from you today, so...
No, well, I was actually calling just because I didn't know if you still needed me, but I wanted to know.
Okay.
But I you know, it's not really a good time. I'm moving tomorrow, so I just wanted to call in and see if you really needed me to go, then I would certainly answer questions for you. You know. But otherwise I'd like to be excused.
You'd like to be excused. Okay, so happy Valentine's Day and happy Mother's Day and all of those stuff together.
Oh, same to you.
It's terrific anyway to get an opportunity to, you know, it's always a place up. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, I mean, can we talk then next week?
Yeah, next week is fine. I'll be all settled in. But I didn't hear back, so I didn't want to leave you hanging. So.
Oh, you're so sweet. So we have some stuff that we want to talk about, too. So I definitely give you an opportunity to settle down. And next week we will talk then about, from 10 to 11.
All right, that's wonderful. Thank you. It is a good time.
Yeah, because we want to talk. I want to talk about some copyright issue. I'm trying to get some of these artists in, see if we can get them in, because a lot has happened since I spoke to you about one very popular artist that got, you know, a good amount of his work taken away from the estate because of some of the intricate wording and stuff. So that I really wanted to talk with. So next week I'll have some questions surrounding that, and I know we can expand on that a little bit.
Okay, I'd like that.
I'd like to know more about copywriting too.
That's love the copyright.
So
that's awesome.
Thank you so much, and again, we wish you all the best, and hope all the things go safely, and you get to settle in your new wonderful place.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Dan. We go back. Let's go back to the password thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was so sweet. You know, that was so sweet of her. Let's go back to the password thing and elaborate a little bit more.
Okay. Is how to create the password or how to break the password?
Because some of it I didn't personally hear, and I'm sure maybe some of my audience didn't, although the chat room here, let's talk a little bit more about password, because some people they even use their names.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, that's another thing too. Is
yeah.
that so lazy?
The name, spelled backwards. The girlfriend's name, spelled backwards. Their dog's name, spelled backwards. So, and you know, it's kind of funny, but in actuality, it is. You'll find it quite surprising how people use those fundamental ways to create passwords. And it's obviously it's pretty easy to hack. In fact, I'll go a step further here. There's a scenario. I used to be kind of a ring of hackers that would – we actually had some kids go out there and dig through the big corporate trash bins looking for passwords.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So how this happens here, you get this system operator that has this great big new system, PDP-11, and they contact – tell the president of the company here, okay, this is your password to get us here. This is the top-level password you get in everything. You need to remember this thing and destroy it. So they get this piece of paper, they remember it, and they crumple it up and throw the trash can. and that trash goes out of the trash bin later on that night, and there's the password.
Wow.
So there's some rather creative ways of getting stuff like that. But most of the time, even if you have these, even if you encrypt the password more, if you use the big problem is if you use the same one over and over again, that's just as bad as having a simple password.
Wow. There's
so many sites out there that's relatively easy to hack into, okay, to access a password, and or you just create your own site. Okay, a lot of people there it's easy to create a forum or a chat room or whatever or something or a membership site that requires somebody to create their own profile and username and password. Okay, and if that's your own site, hypothetically, okay, you have access to the password database and therefore access to a bunch of people's passwords.
Wow.
So, you know, it doesn't, a lot of people think these hackers are really smart, and they are. They're pretty smart people, but I think they're more creative than smart. So, or there's a combination of it's smartly creative.
What I'm hearing here, even though you have these passwords that you would consider, now tell me how you create a password, because some site would help and direct you more than, like, saying have one capital or one uppercase and the others can be lowercase with one letter and one of those little those little symbols. How
mm-hmm,
do you create a half decent, well, a decent enough password?
Okay, with me, if I don't use RoboForm right away, as I mentioned, I have about I'm up five sets of three character passwords. Okay, and I have it very well memorized, all of them. And so if I need a password, I just use those five groups in a combination of different ways to create my password on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Because
okay?
I would think. Also, because here's the reason why for somebody even being around you,
mm-hmm.
like you have and people don't understand how much information I can get from you without you really telling me, but you're telling me everything. You have a family probably on the site and on your, say, in your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep watching how your language, how you communicate, and
mm-hmm.
I can look at probably your family, and if I'm trying to probably see your password, if it's somebody who's close to you who has some basic information, they can probably start with the kid's name.
Yeah, and that's right. Actually does work, but not necessarily for me and a lot of people, and for a lot of people. Yeah, you start collecting everybody's personal lives, dogs, cats, kids, where they're born, stuff like that. You come up with a large list of things you can spell forward, backwards, ex-girlfriend spell backwards, all that stuff. Yeah, that's a that's actually a harder way to guess a password than just simply set up another website and have people give it to you. So, and that had been, it's technically still is a fun way to acquire passwords. So,
how often can you say, tell our listener, how often, give me an example of a good password, and also tell me how often should I change my password?
Well, let me start off with the grouping characters. We'll create a kind of a 9-character password, and these groups will make 3 sets of 3, all right? Say let's, and we'll combine characters along with numbers. So let's say the first one is A1B. That's one set.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the second set we'll make it E64. Okay? And the next character will be 3GW. Okay? Now, instead of trying to remember all of those, you remember bits and pieces of it. So, for instance, the A1B is the first one. Okay? And 364 is the second one. Is that right? Okay. And I forgot the third one already. But anyway, 6GW. So if you spend some time remembering just A1B, 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 say that about 10,000 times, you're not gonna forget that. Or 364, 364, 364, and remember that for 10,000 times. And then the next set there. So you're going to be permanently adhering those groups of characters in your mind. Now it's easy to remember. Now, if you want to create a more encrypted password, you swap the groups around.
Wow.
The second group becomes the first, and the third group becomes, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, that's kind of a fun. That's something we learned a long time ago to do encryption there. That's actually a very fundamental way, an easy way to create a very highly encrypted password. And easy to remember, too.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And how often should you, I know if it's highly encrypted.
How should you change?
But how often should you change, you recommend changing?
You know, it really depends on what you try to secure. Okay, I have my password used for most forums. I hardly ever change them. They're pretty much the same. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And reason being, it's kind of a give in case people try to say trace back my life or try to hack me. Okay, I give them a bone. I leave that password the same. As I mentioned, most everybody uses the same password. So low level security stuff like forums, that's pretty much the same password across the board for me. I have some variations. Higher level stuff, such as my banking information, I change very frequently, at least once a month.
Once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In fact, I don't even use the password generator I just mentioned. I literally use RoboForn to create one randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only one I'm able to access, the only way I'm able to access my banking information is if I had RoboForm with me. So.
Wow. So, this is a lot of information here.
You asked.
I know you've created, you give the different ones. Would you use the uppercase and lowercase? And the little symbols as well. I mean, does that help to me? And
you can, but I'm kind of lazy, so I just use lowercase for everything. So,
okay.
So obviously, if you use uppercase, it really depends on whether the whatever you put in password can accept upper and lowercase. Okay, most systems will go ahead and default to lowercase anyway, no matter regardless where you put uppercase, lowercase. However, like banking information, more secured sites, they could distinguish between upper and lowercase.
They could distinguish between.
Yeah.
What about the symbols?
The symbols, that'd be helpful too, but it's kind of difficult to remember symbols. Like,
okay.
Yeah, A%6 or you know 3 pound 4 or 1 ampersand whatever. So, But, yeah, those definitely help out. Yeah, all that stuff. You know, the more creative you get with the password, the better. But like I say, once again, you need to have a way to have several different passwords and build the levels up of what's the hierarchy of what's really important. Make sure that you change it. You have more encrypted password for that and change it frequently. And the lower level stuff, the less stuff, the stuff you need don't need to worry about secured, you know, perhaps less frequently, perhaps a throwaway password. So throw people off your trail.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh wait.
At least that's my way. That's my how I do things. So.
Okay. You're listening to Caribbean Radio Show, and we're talking about hacking and password, and we're with our technical resident, Mr. Dan. Dan can be reached at. Of course, he has all of the. When you talk about doing your website, when you talk about security and marketing, primeconcept.net, this HTTP, you know, the good things of those, primeconcept.net. And he can also be reached on 760-247-4814. And we're talking about hacking. We're talking about the security of our passwords when we are online. And we're going to definitely talk about this a little bit more next week, because I think that because of the audio, I am afraid that some of my listeners in WW did not hear a lot of it, because I couldn't hear a lot of the audio. Since we've been having a lot of problem with the audio with Blog Talk Radio, I hope that clears up quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we just went through some of the information that would be very useful in creating an encrypted password. Explain to our listener a little bit, what is encryption and how is that different from the other passwords that we say easy passwords?
Well, encryption is, a general term of encryption is even password stuff. But what it does is it encrypts the data that you are transmitting back and forth. Okay? Instead of, let's say if you're looking at, the stuff we're seeing in the chat room, okay, that is unencrypted stuff. So if you broadcast that over the internet, you're actually going to see that as you see it printed out here. Okay, encryption. What it does, there's what's called keys, where you need, instead of having high key there, you actually have to add two things together to make it look like it says high key. Okay. Bear with me. I didn't explain it very well. Did you understand that? I don't think so. I don't think I understood it.
Go ahead.
Okay. For instance, if you see hi Keith, yes, very well. Thank you. I think Mona said that there. How encryption works, you actually take a key. Okay. As they mentioned, you might have heard 64 key encryption, 128 key encryption, so on and so forth. They take the key, they multiply it, or they do some math on the data, so it scrambles it, okay? The only way to unscramble it is to have the key to undo the math, okay? So, and that's why they say the 64, 32, 128-bit encryption. The key you have, let's say, is 128 bits. You take the 128 bits and you multiply it, or you subtract or add to whatever you're trying to encrypt to create something that is other than what you actually want to see. And that is encrypting it, okay? And to decrypt it, you reverse the math. Instead, if you add 120 bits to it, you subtract 120 bits from it. If you multiply 120 bits, you divide 120 bits to bring it back to what it used to be. So, but as when it's encrypted, you can send the data through anything. And it is very, very difficult to break without the key. In fact, the higher the key, the bits on the key, the more difficult it is to break.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I actually could be able to explain that.
Oh, yes.
Oh man, I'm better than I thought I was.
Yes.
So,
yes. goodness. How you were talking about collecting data with these my teeth in my tongue. Viagra advertisements and certain advertisements. Mm-hmm. How can one recognize? You know, we were talking about last week how some of these eddings are so intriguing that although you know you shouldn't, and you don't know these people, for those people who decide, make a decision that nobody, they don't know, they would not open an email. But some of these ads are just so, they just pull you in.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. And
how can you avoid kind of getting into this trap?
Okay. Well, one fundamental thing, if this is Viagra, just avoid it. That's probably probably a good sign that if it's for Nigeria, it's probably not probably going to some things you want to see. But let's say it's a little bit more less obvious. Somebody's trying to sell you real estate in Phoenix or something like that. Some fundamental things I do. First of all, I'm not going to reveal any credit card information unless I absolutely have to. One of the fundamental tests I do, I look at the site. If it's a relatively good looking site, then it's probably okay. If it's a horky looking site, something's probably wrong. Also, if it's got a phone number on it, believe it or not, I do a lot of my transactions by phone. Even though I'm an internet marketer, I'm on the internet consultant. Okay, if there's a phone available, I need to buy something, I'll call them up and verify that. That's a fundamental way of making sure that it's a legitimate company. Okay, and also you can do a check with the BBB. Most all businesses, even if they're not a member of BBB, have some type of listing on BBB, Better Business Bureau. Okay.
Yeah.
So that if you're able, you can. In fact, Better Business Bureau has a way you can. Track domains. Okay, you can search on domains. It'll give you a report on that. Usually, you'll have some type of report. Most everybody's got an A, even if they've done nothing. Okay, but obviously, if you have something less than an A or B or a C, you may not want to do business with that site. And then there's also ripoff report. A bunch of these, scam sites or scam.com is another one, where you can review those sites to see if there is a report on the particular site you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's even much more thorough and comprehensive than the BBB, Better Business Bureau. So
you think that scam.com would, because a lot of times you hear a particular piece of news going around, you can just go to scam.com and look and see if that is there is such a news, some of these sites, I can't even tell you. This was on CNN. Oh, you're supposed to take your dog 2 blocks down the road. This is an emergency or something like that. So you say, can we go on scam.com and verify this? Have to verify
pretty
that.
Much, yeah. They're not guaranteed the sun's going to be there, but if it is there, it's probably the key is if you search scam.com and something comes up on that particular thing you're looking for, it's probably not a good idea to do business with them. So. Unlike the BBB, if you're in there, it's very likely you're a legitimate business, unless you had a bad rating.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but a lot of times, because when I was in college, a lot of young, especially the young adults, you see something. Oh, your bank. This is a good one because this comes up very often. Your bank has the power went down, and your bank had lost some important. And you see a page that looks like your bank's front page, and it says, "Please contact us at so and so, and make sure to put your information back in because we lost power and we would like to get such an information back.
Oh yeah, but in fact, I could tell you a story about that. Where back in my days, we had call forwarding was relatively new, okay. And most everybody, when you remotely access a computer, you use the modems, okay, the dial-up modems and stuff like that. So we would have one hacker. What he would do, he'd figure himself a job as be a system operator at these mainframes and find access to their phones. And he would subscribe to call forwarding on the phone that would go to the mainframe computer, okay. And then one night he would have it forwarded to his PC at home, where he would have a front end that would appear to be like the access to the mainframe. It's asked for username and password. So people put the username and password in, you know, and it fails. So do it again, you know, and that way there he'd get online you can't tell whether it's a PC or the mainframe. Because it all looks the same when you look at a terminal. But at the same time, you know, they collect a lot of username and passwords that way. That's his ingenious way of doing that. Now, likewise with the websites are getting even more sophisticated. Let's say your bank goes down or you have an email that says, hey, you have something wrong with your account, go click on here. All right. First of all, if you just look at the link of the website, whatever you see on there, if it doesn't look right, then just don't do, or plain just don't trust it. Okay, if in doubt, call your bank up. Okay, say, hey, I got this email, it doesn't look right. What's going on? They'll tell you outright. Okay, banks will not send you information, you know, privacy information like that right over, or tell you re-hook up anywhere. Okay, they generally, in fact, they're almost forced to send you a snail mail for any, you know, serious transactions.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, if in doubt, call your bank up. That's the fastest simple way to resolve the issue.
Wow.
Okay, and also here's another thing too. PayPal is a site that gets really hacked. A lot of people get bad information or get tricked by hackers or spammers or whatever. And you can't really you can call PayPal up, but if in doubt, go to your PayPal account right away. Don't log in through the email you're getting.
Right.
Go to your browser, hook up to PayPal, you know, manually, and or call PayPal up. Say, hey, I got this email. What do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm glad you mentioned that because but before I do that, I want to say hi to Monaco. I know you have a website as well. Can you put your information so those of you in the chat room can see and maybe come and listen to one of your shows or thereabout? I know you weren't feeling well the other day. I hope you're feeling much better. Please put your information there, and I can say that as well to my people out there in WW, because this is where most of our listeners are. You don't see them on the board or sometimes on the switchboard, but they're there. And plus, of course, it's all archived, so the thousands of people do listen to the station, in their comfort. In their comfort.
Oh, by the way, I just broke the 1,000 listener mark. Last week.
Did.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. I'm big time. I'm a thousandaire.
You're a thousandaire.
1,000 downloads. Yeah. So.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah. And while you're it, please and I really need to talk a little bit more, expand a little bit on the. Trying to recognize certain things and remind me if my poor little brain just got swept away. Sometimes we see an email that comes around, and Monaco is her website is www.ufomaninfestation.com. That's www.ufomaninfestation. That's ifestation.com. And take a listen over there when you get an opportunity. Thank you, Monaco. What happens, sometimes you really get an email sent from a friend, of a friend, of a friend, of a friend, the chain letters, right? But you see some of these things, and they're really inspiring. What should one do to not probably pick up a virus if they really want to send it to somebody they know or keep copy of it?
Well, first of all, don't copy and paste your millions of friends into the two category there. You know, blind carbon copying them. Okay, so that's one thing. You got a bunch of spammers that set out all these jokes or whatever, or Bill Gates things, and they these chain letters that go all over the place. Eventually, they're going to get back to the spammer, and they're going to have they harvest those email addresses.
Oh.
They do it on purpose. So,
okay.
So that's a real big no-no. When somebody sends you that, first thing I do, I reply back to the person sent to me and says, "Don't do it ever again."
Wow.
Bad. You know, if you do it again, I'm going to send to internet hell. You know, and I have the ability to do it. You know. When it comes to making sure you don't send something that has got a virus in it, usually if you are able to set it plain text, that's a safe way of doing it. HTML is okay. Don't send attachments, especially don't send Word documents back and forth. That itself, it's like Words is like a potential getting AIDS without knowing it.
Wow.
So
Somebody told me that the other day, and I couldn't believe it. Well, the thing about it, Dan, let us talk about, remind us, my brother always says, stick a pin on that, because that is something that we need a little bit more time to really talk about when it comes on. As a matter of fact, the whole thing of sending documents to and from. But just kind of get a brief overview on that, and so we can...
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know what? Keith just brought something out that goes exactly what I'm saying here. Yeah, those chain mails are sent out purposely by email farmers, spammers. Okay, yeah, you send it to 10 people, and they send it to 10 people, and they send it to 10 people, and if you got one that's down the chain a bit, you open that thing up, you literally got hundreds and hundreds of emails in there, and guess what? They're all live email accounts. Okay. In the market there, that's probably worth anywhere from 1 cent to 5 cents a pop. Now, if you get hundreds of them, guess what? You know, easy money. So exactly. And so when somebody sends up to you, send something back in a nice way to your if they're your friend. Please don't do that anymore. You're causing a problem. You're gonna create spam for me and all your friends, and they're not gonna like you. I'm gonna tell on you. And I know Dan Harley. I'm gonna have to send you to internet hell.
Oh.
So.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
So.
This is really, really. I mean, this is a lot of. Oh, Dan, this is a lot of stuff that we take for granted.
Uh-huh.
I mean. As we said last week, when I asked you, what is the age of a child is supposed to start going on the internet, you said 35. and even then,
it might not be old enough, yeah. So.
Let me take a short break, Dan, and then we can get back to our conversation. Before I go, let me just make some correction here. Monaco, let me repeat your information again. I know Monaco do some work for the History Channel, and her information is UFO Manifestation. Did I get that right? Just give me a yes. That's www.ufomanifestation.com. And also, if you want to get in touch with Miss Winsome Benjamin, that Jamaican queen girl there. You can contact her manager, Mr. Cliff Edwards, at 347-661-8602. That's 347-661-8602. If you want to have her in your town, I've been playing her music a lot, and we do have an advertisement here coming up shortly that we will play well. And of course, the man of the evening always is Mr. Don Harley. He's right here in the room. If anything computer, he has a show also. What is your show, sir?
My show is, I don't have a win yet. I kind of do it whenever. But it's at blogtalkradio.com/Dan Harley. So, and
it's blogtalkradio.com slash Dan Harley. And if you want to get some good information on tech, and if you want some information, some other paid information on technology, that's the man to, that's the man to call on.
You know, my last show, I had a very good friend of mine, Jonathan Lee. He's a president of Commerce Promote. We did almost 30 minutes on restaurants and online ordering systems, and that was a very interesting show. It's something I resell for him, so we both know a lot about it. Even though we knew everything about that product, it's just fascinating to talk about it in a platform like that. So we covered a lot of good information about how restaurants can really benefit from having an online ordering system, not just e-commerce system, a system that's designed to sell food. So anyway, that's one of my last shows there. I'm really proud of that show. So
okay, good. And of course, all of our shows are archived. All you have to do is go on the site, and it's like you're hearing it for the first time.
Oh, by the way, Keith mentioned something about how do you encrypt emails. There's something called PGP, called Pretty Good Protection. I think it's actually relatively expensive. What it is, the same thing as using an encryption key, whereas you can encrypt your email and then send it to whoever, and then you can send the key to them afterwards, and they can match up the key and decrypt the email, and it works out pretty good. You call it pretty good protection because the key is like only 32-bit. It's relatively, let's say, not as secure as the more like 128-bit or 256-bit keys that are currently being used now. But it's good enough for, common use. Even, more secure, even military uses that pretty well a lot too. So.
All right, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with our man Dan Harley.
The award-winning Winsome Benjamin brings to you the big smash CD, Where Birds Can't Fly. Winsome is creating the talk of the town all throughout the world with a smash CD with big hits like True Love, Yes, Here Comes Follow My Rainbow, and your big smash tune, Will There Ever Come a Time for Me. And the September track, Hot Love Lying Beside You, make you leave all your troubles behind you. Yes, indeed. It's a big CD, Where Birds Can Fly, from Winsome Benjamin. Yes, and Winsome asked the question, how deep is your love? You can pick it up in the stores at VP Records and Keeling Records in New York City, and on CD Baby and iTunes and all leading online stores. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly. You must catch it. It's going to be so terrific. You've got to catch it. Winsome Benjamin, Where Birds Can Fly.
BestJamaica.com, covering Jamaica in its entirety. From Negril Point to Morant Point, Galena Point to Rocky Point, BestJamaica.com is your source, bringing authentic Jamaica to you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome back. You're listening to Caribbean Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Richardson, and I'm speaking to my favorite person, Mr. Dan Harley. Give us a call. We have the last a couple of 10 minutes left, 661-467-2407. I want to welcome all of my friends in WWW. I know I can't see you, but you can hear me. I thank you so much for your support, your weekly support. Those of you call in and for my little birthday party and send me some lovely email and kisses and all those good things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's always wonderful. And I love to smile and I love to laugh. So I'm just tickled. My little cheeks are, a little weary from the laughter and all of that. But I live and thrive on those. So you can still send me those. You know what I'm saying?
I should have known that your birthday was February 14th because you've got so much love to give.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you.
No wonder you're so lovely.
Thank you, my darling. And I want to give a shout out to my main man in there from London. Oh, my English man, I call him. Of course, Mr. Keith Anthony. He kept me company yesterday. Thank you, reading me poetry and all of those good things. Thank you, Keith. My love. High love, as they say. Thanks a lot. All right, let's kind of see what we can cover here in the last 8 minutes of our show, Dan. I know sometimes I think with these information, sometimes for me, my mouth is always opening first rather than my ears. So,
they say there's a reason why God gave us one mouth and two ears. We're supposed to listen more than we talk.
But I'm in awe. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know this. Rather than digesting some of the time. But like for our listeners, we want to go over this because we want to help you to, because this is what this program is about, and our business section here is for us to bring you information that you would not normally have, or you'd have to search and try to figure out what's going on here. Now we have the person. Dan has 40 years of experience.
I'm 40 years old.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you were born with a computer.
I kind of was. I was. My first computer is Apple II, serial number 528. That means the 528th Apple II ever made. Okay.
Wow.
The millions made after that. And I still have it. Sorry?
I hope you kept it.
I still have it, come to think of it. It's about 10 feet away from me right now.
Wow. You're going to be a millionaire shortly.
Actually, I was. I was a millionaire a couple times, and I lost millionaires. And I,
gosh.
I'm hopefully back on my upswing again. So.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Now, as you talk about computer, I mean, maybe, the last couple of minutes, let me just put this out to you. You kind of give us about another little three or four minutes security something or something that you definitely have to tell us.
About security. Well, like I say, if you're not, there's kind of dichotomy. If you're on the public, like Facebook or Twitter and all that stuff, what you reveal to the public, if you do not want to tell your friends about it, then don't put it online. Okay. Let's imagine whatever you put on there is going to be seen by millions and millions and millions of people. Okay. If you don't want it there, don't put it online. All right. And as for online transactions, stuff like that, I think I mentioned a few things. If in doubt, don't use your credit card on there, okay? If you're if you want to try to investigate a little bit more, see if there's a phone number on the website. Most e-commerce system, whatever, they'll have a phone number. Check, verify it with just simply a phone number. Check with their website at Better Business Bureau. I think Keith brought up a link somewhere. I forget what it was here. Keith, where was that link at that you put it there? I forgot what it was. But anyway, he brought a good website that he can cross reference, make sure that everybody's legitimate too. I think I Who Is or something like that.
Yeah.
And also check with Rip Off Reports and all those rip off, all those spam, you know, scam sites. You know, if you find something that doesn't smell right, I Who Is, there it is. Okay, thanks, Keith. And just don't do it. I mean, it's better to be safe than sorry, as they all say.
Good, okay. Wonderful. And also, before you go, tell our listeners out there how they can, you know, talk to you, get a checkup from you, Mr. Doctor.
Get a checkup for me. Well, my website's primeconcepts.net. My phone number is 760-247-4814. And I tell you, let me kind of plug one of my services I really, really like to plug. If you want to get the phone ring, if you have a small business and you work in a local, your client base is like a local area. Let's say you're a dentist or a plumber, all this stuff. If you want to get the phone ring, I can certainly do that for you. Okay, I have a program called Reach Local. For as little as $100 a month, I can make you look like you're local anywhere and literally make the phone ring. Okay, that's the name of the game. It's not websites. It's not emails. It's not what you did on Facebook. It's when it comes to business, it's making the phone ring, making your home. I got stuff for internet based stuff too, but I can make my clients make money. That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
So
good, wonderful.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. As usual, so much thanks to you. Also in the chat room too is Mr. Clifford Edwards. He is the manager for Miss Winsome Benjamin. You can reach Cliff if you want Miss Benjamin to come to your town to serenade you. His number is 347-661-8602. And thank you so much to all my friends out there in WWW. Those of you who came to see me in the chat room, Monarca, thank you so much. And we can also get her at her website. I'm not sure when the dates that she have her it's www.ufomanifestation.com. I'm sure I got that right this time. So thank you all for coming and visiting with me. I do appreciate your really kind gesture of sitting and hanging out with me wherever you are. And Dan, it's wonderful always to have you.
My heart's melting. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm all warm now.
And before we go, let's let Winsome take us out in the last couple of minutes and enjoy one of my favorite songs from her. Where do you go now? Where did you go now? Winsome Benjamin.
baby.